this is The Brain, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Yes!
This is TFD and Mike, and I'm joined with Kevin Optimus Solo. Hello, sir.
Good day to you.
What you are about to hear is Tooncast Episode 69, Johnny Bravo, which Kevin wanted no part of, so I had to find replacement co-hosts, like usual. But Kevin and I wanted to respond to the episode 68 voicemails by one of our super fans, Kevin C. and Jonathan Totterin, who left voicemails. And what is your response to Kevin's voicemail, sir?
I actually very much appreciated Kevin's voicemail because it made me feel like I'm not insane. During the episode, I was talking about how I was kind of thrown off by the different facial expressions between certain characters, especially the people versus the creatures. And he had mentioned some stuff about rotoscoping and that there was different techniques used. So I'm glad I wasn't going insane. And, you know, my observation skills are still keen. And then I do have to mention that I also appreciate his comment on the webpage. I know this is about the voicemail, but he, being a fellow Kevin, had to point out that I always have some good insights. So that was nice to hear.
You do have good insights. You just have bad taste in Copper Kid. That's all.
Oh, shut up. So I appreciate your voicemail, Kevin. Keep them coming, and I also appreciate the comments. More people should comment on the webpage.
Yes, we need more webpage comments. What about
otherwise it's just me and Mike ranting at each other back and forth. So.
That's kind of like the Facebook fan page. Holy crap. Let's not get into that. So what about Jonathan's voicemail?
God, no, I'm trying to – you put me on the spot here.
Put you on the spot. You just spent, like, I don't know, 25 minutes trying to find it.
I know, and now I freaking forgot what he said. Good Lord, what did he say on it?
He said something about he likes the movie for a Don Bluth movie, and he didn't like Matt Damon as Kale, which – sorry, John, you're wrong, dude.
I remember what I wanted to ask Jonathan. I wanted to ask John. He had mentioned in his voicemail that he watches this movie, or at one point watched this movie once every other month. How do you put yourself through that, my friend? I couldn't. I can't imagine watching that like a third time.
You people and your friggin' hatred.
No, it wasn't bad. I'm just saying. I don't know if I could watch it every other month. If you can, more power to you, though.
Well, I mean, I think he was getting at the fact that, you know, it's one of those movies where, and like I said in episode 68, for me, it's one of the movies where if I need something to watch that I want to watch to, you know, kind of pick me up or kind of, you know, ease the boredom or something like that, you know, that is one of the films that I watch. So maybe that's what he was getting at. I don't know.
We can hope.
Yes. Do we have anything else we want to say about the voicemails?
Just that it's awesome to be getting, you know, a lot more voicemails these days, and I hope more keep coming. And, you know, like I said before, also post some messages on the webpage, and that'd be cool.
Yes. Oh, and Kirsten, you need to catch up because we're way past episode 50 by now. And now to Johnny Bravo.
Ooh.
Shut up, Kevin.
Way there. That's it. Man, I'm pretty. Do the monkey with me. Come on. Hey there, baby. Yeah, whatever.
Hello and welcome to the 69th episode of Tooncast, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I am your host, TFG1 Mike, and today I am joined for the first time by Jonathan Totterin. Hello, sir.
Hello, and it's pronounced Totterin.
Totterin. Okay, well, I don't know, whatever.
Just call me JT, man.
Okay, well, and finally, after 25 minutes of audio problems, we have Glade Packer with us.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hello. I'm bringing these guys in for episode 69 because in episode 69 we're going to be talking about Johnny Bravo, who is probably the only cartoon man on the entire Earth that if the Earth exploded, he would still not get laid.
Oh, man.
Very likely.
And Kevin really didn't have any interest in this episode, and Kevin really kind of scoffs at my numbering schemes, because usually whenever we get to episode 69, I find some sort of sex joke.
Well, who wouldn't?
Exactly.
And you chose Johnny Bravo for 69, go figure.
Yeah, like I said, the guy that will never get laid.
Oh, poor Johnny.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, if you think about it, it's such a commentary in the today's mail, you know? The guy who doesn't get any.
Oh, man. Depressing.
Yes, very much so. So, Glade, why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners and let the people know what you're all about? You don't have to go, like, so many private issues, just like general geekdom, even though we've revoked your geek license because you've never watched anything of He-Man.
I make up for it, though. First off, I have seen Johnny Bravo, so... Yeah.
That's not saying much, dude.
Okay, going back for my geeky license, then. All right, ever since I was 5, I've been a geek because I grew up on Batman, the animated series, and what got me to Star Trek was the technology. If that's not geeky enough, I don't know what it is.
Okay, all right.
So, yeah, I'm also doing a podcast, Sherlock Holmes, found on tsaproductions.podbean.com. I have a horrible habit of procrastinating, but I do it whenever I can, so. And if that's not geeky enough.
Horrible habit of procrastinating. Give me a break. I run a network of 12 to 14 shows a week, damn it.
Okay, I'm only recording 2, and I took a break for a month. Come on. Come on. No, I love it, though. Whenever my microphone works.
It's working now, so don't say anything against it or else it might stop. So stop jinxing yourself.
Okay. I love you, Mike. The microphone!
Photonically, of course.
Yeah, really.
Yes.
And JT, why don't you introduce yourself to the masses here?
Okay, well... Like I said, name's Jonathan Totter, and I just happen to go by JT because when I moved away from home, I wanted to have a cool name. But, I grew up in Saskatchewan, province in Canada. Very limited geeky things to find growing up. So once I moved to the big city of Saskatoon, that's when I really started digging in. Basically, I love reading comics. I love watching cartoons. I play as much video games as I can, but with my work schedule, I'm lucky if I get an hour a day, if that. And I don't run my own podcast yet, although me and a couple of friends are looking into it. Right now, I run my own blog, authenticgeek247.blogspot.com. It's not the biggest thing in the world. I basically go out once or twice a day, try and find a couple of cool geeky news items and comment on them or kind of give them some props if I think they're deserving of it. And other than that, I basically spend my time playing Plants vs. Zombies while listening to many of the fine programs involving the GeekCast Radio Network.
Yes. And Pimpage will get you nowhere.
I'm just trying to suck up. And a little bit from that.
Suck up! You're already on the show! What the hell?
I know. And I also listen to a little bit of Twig now and again. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. Yeah, I won't list the podcasts I listen to. There's far too many. But GeekCast Radio Network is up there, so
yeah.
There's my suck up.
Yeah, GeekCast Radio Network, Earth2.net, This Week in Geek, Pop Culture Network. There's just way too many of them.
Is mine one of them? Ouch.
If you started dominated for the animated first, yes, it would have been. I'm not into. I have listened to your show, but it's just Sherlock Holmes just doesn't interest me. It's not that I'm not trying to not support you. It's just the topic you're talking about. Just
no interest.
Just doesn't interest me at all.
Oh, it's cool. I'll be dominated by the animated sometime before I'm 25. So yeah.
So how long is that going to be? The next 3 years?
I'm 23, so
okay. So the next 2 years.
Yeah. Honestly, I'll try to shoot for it, like, maybe this Sunday, but I'm a solo podcaster. It's hard to make it interesting when it's just me, you know?
Well, that's why you find people to podcast with.
I try, but they all just say, dude, no.
It's not like you know another nerd with nothing but scads and scads of spare time on his hands.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, GT, what are you doing this Sunday?
Well, I don't know, but I could move a few things around in my schedule and see what we can work out.
Yeah, that's my day off, too, so there we go. Okay, guess I have a co-host.
Woohoo!
Yes. If only if I can.
We here at Geekcast Radio Network bring podcasters together.
Yeah, you've heard
that's horribly. That was okay. So today we're going to be talking about Johnny Bravo, and we're going to start with the history lesson. Johnny Bravo is an American animated series created by Van Partible. It premiered on July 7th, 1997, on Cartoon Network, and ran for 67 episodes and 4 seasons. The series originally lasted for 12 episodes and a half hour's worth of original pilots. Was renewed in 1999 and officially ended its run on August 27, 2004, but later came back as reruns in November of 2009 on Cartoon Network. Johnny Bravo originally appeared in 2 animated shorts created for Cartoon Network's World Premiere Toons and was one of several characters to be given an ongoing series. Many celebrities starred in the show as well. Initially, the show aired using the same creative format as the original animated shorts. However, the show was completely retooled in the later seasons, changing the animation style and the personalities of several characters. The show's final season returned to the original format. Johnny Bravo was used in the show JBVO. That involved taking the show requests from viewers. JBVO ran for roughly 1 year. What, JT, what are your thoughts or general memories on Johnny Bravo?
Well, it's, without making it sound too, you know, epic, it's one of the cartoons that I credit with kind of restoring my faith in animation. So, I mean, you know, I was watching a lot of syndicated cartoons growing up, you know, based on toy series and whatnot. This is a cartoon that, you know, watching the first season, and I think it was the last season when the original format came back, it went back to the old school Hanna-Barbera style of cartoons where, you know, it's just the guy's in an average day, average situation, and hilarity ensues. And it made me laugh like I hadn't laughed at a cartoon in years. I mean, it was funny, it was original, and how can you not love this guy, the guy, Johnny Bravo's attitude? I mean, the guy never gave up.
Yeah, I will say that's one good thing about him, that he never gave up, but the vanity is, oh God, that's what killed me with this show. But
that's kind of what made me laugh, that the guy was like, he had this narcissist complex, and it, something like that I find funny when the guy doesn't even realize, you know, how bad off he is.
Glade, what are your general memories for Johnny Bravo?
I honestly don't remember much about the show when I first saw it, but I do remember when I did see it. Despite all the narcissism and whatever, I thought Johnny Bravo, he was awesome. I mean, he had the look and attitude of, hey, I'm cool, I know it, you should know it, and whatever. So I guess in a weird way, I kind of, no, I'm not going to say I looked up to him, but
you aspired to be like that.
He had the confidence and the outgoingness, and sure, he never, ever got the girl, except for maybe Susie, but
Susie doesn't count. That's, oh, God, oh, no.
Oh,
to quote
I don't mean
Mr. Bravo, call him back in 15 years when she's a co-ed.
Wow, yeah. Talk about child pornography.
Just a little.
Hey, that's not why I watched the show. No, Jeff Glenn Bennett does an amazing job, I think. I know, I'm sorry for jumping ahead with that, but I, one of the most versatile actors I've ever heard, so
yeah.
Just love the show.
I don't know, see, I don't mind, like, some of the adventures that Johnny gets hooked into, but just the whole I don't see him as confident. I see him as cocky and as vain as you can be. I mean, he's, I don't know.
stuck up?
Yeah, he's not really no, it's not really a thing of stuck up. It's the thing that he is so vain, he is so into himself, and he is so cocky about, like, when he approaches a girl, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm hot, let's date. And that's not the way to do it, because...
Sorry,
you go, Blade.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just younger when I thought that. Now when I see it, it's like, dude, take a step back and let the girl say some stuff.
Yeah. So I guess we can get into the characters and the voice actors here. Johnny Bravo, who is voiced by Jeff Bennett. Wow. Jonathan Johnny B. Bravo. Wow, that's his full name. Yikes, that's kind of repetitive.
Not only that, but it explains why he's into himself so much. His name, his first name is repeated like twice.
Yeah. Is the extremely muscular main protagonist of the series. His middle name was rumored to be Boston. He has incredibly narcissistic and dim-witted traits that lead to severe, incorrigible inability to attract women, becoming a running gag throughout the series. I don't know. Johnny, I don't know. He's okay when he, like, learns a lesson, but just in general, I don't know. I just never really liked his character.
Same. Well, nowadays.
Yeah. As far as Jeff Bennett, yeah, he did an amazing job voicing the character. And Jeff Bennett is a great voice actor overall. I actually sent, of course, it didn't get a response yet, but I sent in a request to interview Jeff, but I haven't received a response yet, which is unfortunate, because I wanted to have the interview done before this episode.
I know, but you just look at some of, like, his voice credits for some series. I mean, like, I made up my own little list here. He did Azmuth, which is the little gray alien that made the Superwatch in Ben 10. He's Dr. Jacques von Hamster Evil in Lilo and Stitch, the series, which was great. Mike would like this. He voiced Prowl, Ultra Magnus, Soundwave, Mixmaster in Transformers Animated. Duke L'Orange in The Mighty Ducks, the series, which I kind of like that one, but that's another story. My favorite voice that he's done doing currently is he voices Kowalski on the Penguins of Madagascar. and that's kind of like Johnny Bravo. Like, it makes me laugh from a good, dark, deep place. Like, it just gets that nice, loud gut laugh out that you just don't see in a lot of cartoons nowadays.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Some of the other characters that are featured in the show, we have... I'm not even going to try to say his last name. Holy crap.
I think it's Kroniskwitz or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Same.
He's voiced by Tom Kenny, and he's pretty much the Hollywood nerd who is considered by many, especially Johnny, to be extremely annoying. He is Johnny's quote-unquote best friend. He is a local genius and geek who is very... Oh, kind of like us. Well, we're not all geniuses, but...
Speak for yourself.
In our own way.
My laptop didn't win the battle earlier, so I'm a genius.
Well, there you go.
And a virtual high five to you, sir.
Yes.
Thank you much.
Tom Kenny is another one of those amazing, amazing voice actors. He has such range between this, Iron Man on Superhero Squad, MODOK on Superhero Squad show.
He does MODOK?
Yep.
I didn't know that either.
MODOK's like my favorite character on that one.
Yeah, MODOK is hilarious. He voiced Starscream in Transformers. He's voiced a number of things. He was the narrator for Powerpuff Girls.
He was? Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
The City of Townsville. Yeah, that's him.
I can't tell with that voice, man.
Yeah, that's him.
Wow. You know, this one thing, I was looking over his list here. I didn't know he did Val Hallen in Dexter's Lab.
Yep.
Which, that was probably that was one of my favorite spinoffs from a Cartoon Network series, was the Justice Friends. But again, another episode.
Yeah. Actually, we already covered Dexter. Kevin didn't much care for it, though. That was episode 9 of the show, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's a while back. But yeah, no, I mean, yeah, Tom Kenny, it's just great. Okay, you know, SpongeBob notwithstanding, but
yeah, I forgot about SpongeBob. I try not to think about SpongeBob because Michael Wilson over on The Beast Unleashed, he turned SpongeBob SquarePants theme song into Depth Charge Fish Pants theme song for the character of Depth Charge in season 3 of Beast Wars.
Oh, that's God.
That is not an honor to Depth Charge. That is an insult. I think he's awesome.
I don't know. We're getting off on the thing. But anyway, yeah, we can talk about that later. Bunny Bravo, who is Mama, is Johnny's mother. She has a lively past and sometimes reveals a surprising hidden talent. The show's original format portrays her as a calm, nurturing woman, but was made into a louder, more extroverted character once the show was retooled. She is very dedicated to her son, but as a result of her awareness of his low intellect and womanizer attitude, does not always treat him and his problems seriously. Mama's voice is very, you know who that character is as soon as you hear that voice, but I don't know, because it's been so long since I've seen it. I mean, I've seen a couple episodes here and there of the show, but I don't know, it just, what do you guys think of Mama, JT?
Well, I think she, you know, like you said, she's got a very distinctive voice, and the voice matches the character design, because you see her, you know, the Southern Florida hairdo with, you know, up in the net and the sunglasses, and, you know, she loves her son. So it's a very distinctive voice and it works for the character. Other than that, you know, it's not a lot that can be said about her, because, you know, she's not always in the cartoon, so she doesn't really stick out in my mind too much.
Yep.
But that's, like I said, I do like the voice. Like, it's her actress's name was Brenda Vaccaro, who I looked her up. You know, she's got a huge catalog of roles in film and stage. So, I mean, she would have the ability to create a very distinctive voice like that, which is, you know, probably the most important part of a cartoon.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah, very much so. Next up, we have Little Susie, voiced by Mae Whitman. Little Susie, or simply known as just Susie, is a little redheaded, intelligent 5-year-old girl from the neighborhood, often called Little Neighbor Girl by Johnny, who is very cunning and talkative. In many episodes, Susie is shown to have major crush on Johnny, although the feeling is not mutual. Her parents were never shown, but she is often shown to be related to big-time celebrities. For example, it was revealed in an episode during her birthday that Farrah Fawcett is her cousin. Oh, rest in peace, Farrah.
Well, you know, at least, you know, before she really kind of fell off the rails there. But that's actually one of my favorite episodes was Johnny meets Farrah Fawcett.
Mm.
Just the whole thing. And she's like, Johnny, want to come to my birthday party? Johnny, want to come to my birthday party? Johnny, Farrah Fawcett is my cousin. Go away, little girl. And then he turns around, Farrah Fawcett, what the deuce? And then, you know, it's just like a classic kind of comedy trope of, oh, you know, it's the whole thing is you see the party, it goes back to Johnny trying to and failing to get in through the whole episode.
Yeah.
And, you know, just at the last second, he almost reaches the finish line and then he falls short again.
Of course.
Oh, sweet irony.
Yes. Oh, sweet irony. Let's see. Oh, huh. I don't remember this character at all. Lonnie Dash.
I vaguely do.
I don't. He's a famous, well-renowned 8-year-old Mexican-American country singer and guitarist. He was Little Susie's favorite singing celebrity. He was also a young Hispanic boy parody of Johnny Cash. Okay. I don't remember him at all.
No, yeah. I don't think I ever saw that episode.
Nope.
It's all fuzzy to me, too, so...
Yeah. And we have Pops, who is voiced by Larry Drake, the greedy owner of a local chili restaurant who could be considered as Johnny's substitute father. He often gives fatherly tips and advice to Johnny. However, his advice often turns out to be useless, sometimes provoking trouble for Johnny. His diner's chili is made from rather suspicious ingredient. Oh, so it's Taco Bell. Okay, good deal.
Or McDonald's.
Hey, shut up.
Maybe it's a it's a front for Taco Bell. You know, they're just trying out new stuff there first.
That's bad.
Trying.
Okay, we have Master Hama, a Japanese martial artist instructor. Johnny has taken and failed several of his martial arts classes. Frequently ruins Hama's life trying to learn his lessons. Like Carl and Pops, Master Hama was introduced after the series was retooled. His rival is another martial arts instructor named Pantene Claw. Wow. A shampoo claw? What the hell?
It's a dynasty.
Yes. Who has a daughter named Ting? Oh, God.
Ting!
Horrible, horrible things are going through my head right now, and I'm not going to repeat them anyways. Donnie Osmond, voiced by Donnie Osmond.
Really?
Who'd have thunk it?
I know, that's an incredible approximation of his voice.
Blew my mind away with that.
Yeah. He's a character who is often used as a minor, laughingly useless character in some key episodes. He is seen as cheery and extremely optimistic to the point of foolishness. This personality is a stark contrast to often very serious Johnny, thus causing tension between himself and Donnie. In his first appearance, he was Johnny's nanny. Oh, God, that couldn't have gone well.
Awkward.
Oh, yeah, awkward.
Should have saw that episode. Oh, man.
Okay, next character is, or last character is Jungle Boy, voiced by Cody Dorkin. Wow, that's a horrible last name to have.
And the first name is such a prize?
When they were given names out, that is not going to win a prize. Yikes. The little boy with incredible strength who lived at the jungle with talking animals similar to Tarzan, his appearances in the series were short-lived, and he appeared only in season one episodes. Okay, then. JT, who is your favorite overall character from the series?
Well, I'm going to say Johnny. Just, I mean, he's the main guy, and I enjoy laughing at his antics. The one thing I want to, if I can just step back for a second, Mike, you look at some of the voice actors for, like the voice actors for Pops and Master Hama. Did you know that Pops was voiced by Larry Drake? And do you know who he is?
Yeah, I know he was voiced by Larry Drake, but I don't know who he is.
Larry Drake's the guy that played Robert G. Durant in the Darkman movies.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Robert G. You know, I got eight more reasons with the cigarette cutter there. And he also played, I only saw a few episodes of this show back in the day. There was the show L.A. Law. He played the role of Benny Stulwitz, who is the first major television character to have a mental disability.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, like they had the one where he was like accused of like attacking and raping a woman until they, you know, he said stuff in court and she's like, it wasn't him, that guy's a retard. And I was just like, oh, you know, because growing up, you know, I never seen why should you make fun of someone who's got a mental disability? I mean, right. That's why that episode kind of stuck with me. And you look at Master Hama was voiced by a guy named Brian Tochi, who's he's had like an epic career stretching back to the original Hawaii Five-O. And as far as voice acting goes, which is what we might care about, he was in Bionic 6, Challenge of the GoBots, Real Adventures of Johnny Quest, which I was kind of meh on, all said and done.
Real Adventures does not exist to me. But anyway, we'll get to that later. Yeah.
He was in Batman Beyond, and here's another treat as far as movies go. He voiced Leonardo in all of the live-action Ninja Turtle movies.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Very cool. So who is your favorite? Okay, so Johnny's your favorite character, JT?
That would be absolute.
Okay, what about you, Glade?
Oh, that's a tough one because I haven't seen the series fully. But to be different, I won't say Johnny. I'd probably say Little Susie just because she doesn't know any better. And she's persistent, just like Johnny is, except she actually has a iota of intelligence. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, Little Susie is kind of like, I want to say the anti-boo-boo of the show, but she kind of filled that little bit of a cute sidekick role. But yeah, like yeah. I said, she was kind of like, you know, she was like the catalyst for a lot of the episodes where, you know, she's trying to get Johnny to do something or come to her birthday party or, like I said, you know, the whole Johnny meets Farrah Fawcett. One of the earlier episodes, and I think it was the first season, or I think it was even the second episode, was a cartoon called Super Duped where she brought in Johnny as the superhero Bravo Man.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, kids, you want to see me comb my hair real fast? You know, kids are just like, holy crap, this is awesome.
I'm sure if he used his powers for the benefit of others, the world would be a much better place.
Yes, but he wouldn't be the Johnny Bravo that we all know and love, or some people tolerate, you know.
Yeah, if you're of the opposite sex, yeah, tolerate.
Well, no, I mean, that's...
Or even if you're me, tolerate.
Yeah, we know, Mike, the line between tolerate and outright hatred with you is almost invisible some days.
Well, it depends on, like, okay, all right, so...
I refer you to the Silverhawks episode.
Hey, 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 hey. The only reason, and honestly, I don't, you know, I know we're getting off a tangent here, but I honestly don't hate Silverhawks. I just use it against Kevin, because... That's just what I do, but...
I know, it's just when I heard that the first time, it's like all this venom is spilling out of
you. For me,
you know?
For me, when all the venom is spilling out, like, Johnny, I can, like, set aside. Johnny's not the worst character in cartoons. Okay. One of the worst characters in cartoons is fucking Springer from Transformers. Oh, God. Don't, you just... That's where my hatred goes, right there. You don't want to get me started on that.
Okay.
Just like me and Scooby-Doo. Don't like that series at all.
Oh, boy. Scooby-Doo. Okay, all right. A pup named Scooby-Doo was good.
Yeah.
Can we at least admit that?
Anything grudgingly. Prior to the introduction.
Grudgingly. All right. So, I don't know. I guess my favorite character... I don't really have a favorite character from the show. I like the interactions between Johnny and Pops and Carl. Like I saw an episode, earlier before we started recording, I guess it was a season 2 episode. Johnny got abducted to Planet Bikini or something or other by these two hot space babes.
Lucky guy. I mean, nothing.
And, as I was finished, well, as I was watching the episode, I kind of stopped it early, but I got up to the point where, Carl comes in cause Johnny had ordered fries and apparently Johnny never orders things and then doesn't eat them. And they're all like, ooh, Johnny ordered this, and blah, 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 between Carl and Pops, it must be a conspiracy. So, yeah. I like the dynamic. I really don't care for Johnny's overabundance of being so cocky and being vain in himself. I mean, I don't know, but that's just me. So, getting into the behind-the-scenes stuff here, this show had a ton of guest appearances, which include the following: Don Knotts, Jessica Biel, Alec Baldwin, Weird Al Yankovic, Rick Springfield, Luke Perry, Farrah Fawcett, I can't pronounce that name, so I'm not going to, Adam West, Dionne Warwick, Mick Jagger, Richard Simmons, Joey McIntyre, Mr. T, Mark Hamill, Shaquille O'Neal, Donny Osmond, Seth Green, Alice Beasley, Curtis Armstrong, Chuck D, Jeffrey Tambor, Tia Carrera, and Larry Newman. Wow, that's a lot of good people. I mean,
yeah,
you know, some people can, like, it's weird. I find myself, like, say you have Shaquille O'Neal. Okay, he's a basketball player. He doesn't really, I mean, and he supposedly is a rap artist. But my point is
supposedly.
Well, supposedly. my point is, though, is that sometimes it's hard for me to see people crossing over from one thing to the other. And in voice acting, it's the same thing. It surprises me sometimes when I see people appear. But like shows like this, and I hate to equate this to The Simpsons, but just looking at this guest list, this is almost like, you know, The Simpsons for Johnny Bravo. And I think it's really great that they had all those people guest starring. The episode featuring Adam West inspired Seth MacFarlane, who once worked on Johnny Bravo as a writer and cartoonist, who wrote the episode to incorporate similar character into Family Guy. Yeah, that's a show that'll never be covered on this podcast. Fuck Family Guy. Okay, let's see. Other more famous Hanna-Barbera characters have appeared in Johnny Bravo episodes, including the cast of Scooby-Doo, Speed Buggy, Jabberjaw, Fred Flintstone, Yogi Bear, The Blue Falcon, and Huckleberry Hound. Johnny has also hosted Cartoon Fridays a number of times, mostly during the premiere of a new episode of his own show, and rarely hosting a new episode of a different cartoon. Well, again, there you go. The vanity thing. There you go, see?
That's just not the character's stock and trade. So, I mean, why wouldn't he pass? It's like, what's that? I got to host the Courage the Cowardly Dog. What the heck is that? Yeah, pass.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, who else would have the meaner, the proper, well, I wouldn't say proper, but the, you know, like the host attitude. If you're not confident, or in Johnny's case, overly confident, well, I see him as an announcer kind of guy. He has that kind of aura, you know?
Yeah. Radio jock personality?
Yeah, pretty much. Good voice, but don't want to see his face.
Oh, wow. That's
That's probably what the women are thinking.
That's so horrible. So you're, and I know it's the, I'm surprised Jonathan didn't come up with that, because I was going to say, oh, wow, so basically Johnny Bravo is Mike Dodd.
You see, Mike, I like Mike Dodd. I know.
I like him too, but I can still shun him sometimes.
Yeah.
He shuns me all the time with that goddamn Aquaman crap. But anyway, all right, so JBVO was a short-lived television series on Cartoon Network. The series aired on Sundays from April 2nd, 2000 to May 21st, 2001. It was hosted by Johnny, along with some infrequent guest stars such as Chicken from Cow and Chicken. Callers would write into the show to via mail or through Cartoon Network website to call the show and request a cartoon from Cartoon Network's Cartoon Library, which would then be played, with an exception of half-hour-long shows. Notably, one caller of the show requested an episode of Dragon Ball Z, being that it was a half-hour long. Johnny regretfully had to fast-forward through the entire episode, with Johnny providing only expositional commentary. Afterward, Johnny apologized to the caller for the inconvenience. At one point, somebody wrote to Johnny to tell him off for hitting on women, and Johnny refused to listen. Johnny Bravo can still be seen on Boomerang, Cartoon Network's sister channel for classic cartoons. I find that very funny. They have Johnny Bravo, Powerpuff Girls, and Dexter's Lab on Boomerang. They have now become, quote-unquote, classic cartoons. That's funny.
Glad there's some place where you can watch good stuff.
You mean the internet doesn't have anything?
The internet is a constant fail. Who are we kidding?
Yeah, true. There's no such thing as pirates or anything like that. Nope. Torrenting here. Nope.
No, we wouldn't know anything about illegal downloads, would we?
Nah, I don't know what you're talking about. Nah.
Yeah, right. Moving on.
Yeah, no incriminating here.
Oh, wow, I did not know this. The number 5 Kellogg Chevrolet was given a special paint scheme with Johnny Bravo on the hood. It was driven by Kyle Busch in the 2005 Sharpie 500 NASCAR race. That's interesting.
I think I might have seen that once on a website or on TV or something.
Yeah.
I just saw the Cartoon Network logo and I was like, ooh, what's this?
Yeah, so some of the series writing credits go to Van Partible, who I believe created the series, Seth MacFarlane, let's see, I don't recognize anybody else. Out of the writing credits, I don't. Again, Van Partible directed, Robert Alvarez directed an episode, John McIntyre directed a couple episodes. Let's see here. Getting into the actual show, Johnny.
Oh, that's okay.
What?
Sorry, just interrupt for a second here, Mike. I was looking at that Butch Hartman.
Yeah.
He's the creator of the Fairly Odd Parents and Danny Phantom.
Oh, cool.
Danny Phantom is about the only Nickelodeon cartoon that I still watch, aside from reruns of Avatar.
I haven't watched Nickelodeon in God knows how long. It's been about 15, 16 years.
Since Ren and Stimpy went off the air.
Do you seriously want me to jump through my computer and choke the hell out of you? I hate that show. Ren and Stimpy will never be covered on this podcast.
Way to stick up, JT.
Oh, fine. I mean, if Mike doesn't like a cartoon, he doesn't like a cartoon. Although, it would be epically cool if you could dive through the internet and appear in Canada and strangle me. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's not really so much the show that I have the hatred for. It's so much the person that created the show, John Kay, because...
Yeah, that guy's got a rep like no one's business.
Huh?
He's got a rep like no one else, man. I mean, the guy's kind of like, he's a fanboy that did good, and then he's like the anti-Kevin Smith, you know, he's... working in an industry that he loves, but he can't help but crap on everyone else.
Well, see, the thing is, he said bad things about Tiny Toons. Said that they're basically ripoffs of the original Looney Tunes characters. And that's when I started hating him, because I love Tiny Toons. And I never really liked Ren and Stimpy anyway. I never really got the whole popularity thing of that. I would much rather subjugate myself to Beavis and Butthead than Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah, but... see, that's... The thing is with Ren and Stimpy, and this is the only thing I'm going to say in its defense, is it takes what people like about, say, Looney Tunes with the whole sheer absurdity of the given situation in the cartoon, and they just cranked it up to 11. And I think that's why, at least for myself, that's why a lot of people liked Ren and Stimpy, because it was just insane.
Yeah.
Beavis and Butthead, I didn't like it for a variety of reasons, mainly the arc, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. So getting into the actual show here, Johnny Bravo, the show revolves around a muscular beefcake blonde young man with black sunglasses and a shirt, blue jeans and a pompadour hairstyle, and an Elvis Presley-like tone of voice, personality. Plots typically revolve around him trying to get a woman that he has targeted throughout the episode to fall in love with him. He is often beat up or stunned by his target or companions and gets ditched by them in the end. Due to his narcissistic and dim-witted traits, he tends to be attracted to any woman. His adventures and problems usually involve Susie, a red-haired 5-year-old girl, Carl, a brown-haired intelligent geek of the same approximate age as Johnny, and Pops, a 50-year-old man who serves as a father figure. So, JT, do you have a favorite episode of this show?
Well, I think two episodes I love equally right up at the top there in the first season is Super Duped, where Johnny... little Susie gets Johnny to come to her show and tell as the superhero Bravo Man, and he then has to use his ability to comb his hair really fast to stop a bank robbery and impress the school teacher who's got the hots for anything or any guy that's a superhero. And the other one, would like I said before, one of my favorite episodes was Johnny Meets Farrah Fawcett, because like I said, it has that classic comedy thing of a guy trying to get somewhere and just failing repeatedly.
Yeah,
those are probably my two favorites episode. The other one, I can't remember the name of the episode, but is this one where Johnny wants to meet foreign chicks and he ends up signed up and joining the French Foreign Legion. And that episode just made me chuckle because he's trying to find the fort. And this is, like I said, I like cartoons that have a little bit of insanity mixed into it. It's like once him and the talking camel land in the desert, all of a sudden, they're greeted by this guy, smiley-style game show host who says, "You're on, let's find the fort." What do we win if we find the fort? You don't die in the desert. And that's basically what the episode is, them just trying to find the fort. And then Johnny, you know, he can go into the fort or he can take what's behind number two, or door number two. And he goes for door number two and he gets in a plane and he takes off for some city, and the camel goes into the fort, and it's basically Club Med with like a crap ton of hot chicks in bikinis and free smoothies.
Oh, jeez. What about you, Glade? Did you remember any of the episodes that you've watched that are your favorites?
I haven't seen that many, but the latest and greatest, in my opinion, I saw was Bravo Doobie-Doo. It's where his car is broken down the side, the mystery gang, or whatever they're called. Yeah, I'm not a Scooby-Doo fan, so yeah. But anyway, they drive up, and he's telling them that he's going to see his aunt or grandma. I forget which one it is.
Aunt Chibadeza. Well,
yeah, yeah. I'm not going to try to say that name, though. But yeah, they're going up to see the aunt. He wants to go up to see his aunt, and they're like, okay, that's cool. Then he's like, in that spooky house. They're like, ooh, let's do it. So he's repeatedly, like many guys probably would do if she were real, he's hitting on Daphne, and Velma's just all hearts for Johnny. Well, they get up there, and there's the spooky gardener. Not going to spoil who it is, though, but I saw...
Does it really matter? I mean, all the Scooby-Doo villains are just real people with masks.
Yeah. Well,
that's the one thing. I kind of remember that episode. They have a gag where they go through, like, 10 different masks before they find out who the villain really is.
Yeah, one of them is Joe Barbera, too. They're like, who's this guy? That was just awesome, I thought. So, yeah, okay, spoiler alert. It turns out to be his aunt because she doesn't like Johnny. Big surprise. So, she just didn't want him to... She just didn't want to see him. The thing that I found weird about the episode, though, was when she's like, I would have gotten away with it, too, if it weren't for you kids. Johnny was the one who captured her because the chandelier, he was on it, and due to his weight...
Stupidity,
weight, gravity. Yeah, he was the one who captured her, not the kids. So,
yeah, but I mean...
Oh, other than that, yeah. But I thought it was... I don't like Scooby-Doo, but I thought it was hilarious how Fred and Daphne always seem to team up. And he's like, Daphne? And she's like, okay, you guys go check upstairs. Fred and I will check the basement.
And then Fred looks at the screen. He's like, all right.
At least somebody's, yeah, somebody's getting laid, and it sure ain't Johnny.
Well, that was like the best gag in that Scooby-Doo movie. It's like, you're always going off with her. Yeah, I wonder why.
Yeah. Oh, man. So
It'd be different if Daphne and Velma were always going off. We'd all know why that was.
Well, yeah, they got to exchange makeup tips.
Okay, that's not what I was going for, but anyways.
If that's what they're calling it these days.
Yeah, exactly. You crazy kids, get off my lawn. Oh, boy. So
that's going to be Fred in like 40 years. Sitting in a rocking chair. Damn, kids, go solve mysteries somewhere else.
No ghosts here, but if you keep staying here, you'll be haunting something.
You know, I had a horrible, horrible thought, and I should save it for our Scooby-Doo episode, but I have to say it here. If Fred and Daphne had kids that looked just like them and dressed just like them, and then if Shaggy and Velma had kids that looked like them and dressed just like them, you would have a brand new Scooby-Doo gang.
The world has suffered enough.
Yes. Yeah, okay, so... By that logic, Scrappy-Doo would have a son even more annoying than him.
Hey, shut up. I like Scrappy. Scrappy's awesome.
Oh, it's on now, Mike.
All right, so getting into the music segment here. I don't know. I don't know how this theme really didn't make any sense to me. It introduced us to Johnny, but I don't know. It's just a bunch of random stuff. And then, like, part of it is like, do the monkey with me. And I'm like, why the hell would I do that?
Ugh. Well, yeah, and that's the song. I mean, you listen to the music. I mean, obviously they're going for, like, kind of an Elvis sort of rip.
Yeah.
To go along with Johnny's Elvis-like personality. And it basically, you know, without using words, it spells out, hey, here's Johnny. He's cocky. He can do some really cool shit. He tries to get ladies. He fails. And then he dances.
Yep.
Although, really, he really shouldn't be dancing because he failed. Why do a victory dance if you don't get the victory, you know?
Well, I wouldn't call it a victory dance. Maybe it's just a happy dance.
You get my point, though. He shouldn't be dancing.
Yeah, he shouldn't be dancing. The series' original music was done by Christopher Neil Nelson and Louis Faginson. Wow, that's a horrible name to be dealt either, too.
No T's in there.
Yeah, no, we're not going to go there.
he's had enough of it, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Okay, so getting into the legacy segment here, I'm kind of glad that this doesn't have an IGN rating, thank God.
We all know how much you love that list, Mike.
It's not really me. It's more than Kevin really hates the list. It's not really me that hates it. I just disagree with a lot of it. But
well, yeah. I mean, where did Mask end up in that list? That was like somewhere near the bottom, wasn't it?
99.
Yeah, that for that reason alone, IGN should be burned to the ground.
You heard it here first, folks. He's going to burn them to the ground.
Metaphorically speaking,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, sure.
It'd be a shame if something happened to it, yeah.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Wow. Jeez. Why am I flashing to Milton? Give me my stapler. I'm going to burn this whole place down.
Yeah. Well, I'm just, you know. Just,
I'll put strychnine in the guacamole.
Oh,
I love Office Space.
That is such a good movie.
Yep.
Here's my geek license. I haven't seen it.
Oh.
I know. I fail.
He redeemed himself earlier, and now he's failing again, folks. Oh, boy.
I watch anime.
That's,
what anime?
What's anime? That really doesn't count here.
Oh, shoot. Okay. I have Powerpuff Girls, Dexter's Laboratory. Okay. My terabyte drive is almost filled with a boatload of cartoons. How about that?
Okay. Answer this question correctly. If someone asks you if you're God, you say...
Yeah, don't make me sick my lightning on you.
I know. Can we let him go on that one, Mike?
I guess, just to move the show along, because it's kind of dragging now.
Sorry, man.
Okay, so some running gags for Johnny. The zone where normal things don't happen very often was a running gag in an episode on the original series where an episode would be opened and closed by the words of a narrator, and the episode itself would consist of Johnny encountering something strange, for example, being at the mercy of a boy who can seemingly alter reality at will, or fighting a personal war with a clown trying to damage a plane's wing. Oh, boy.
I don't like clowns, so that I'll pass on that episode.
Yeah, there's no clown college here, Krusty. only to discover that he was one of the two clowns kept to balance the plane.
Oh, I'm surprised. Crap. I'm surprised he didn't see that as a fat joke or anything against him.
That's the thing. He's so vain. He doesn't see himself as fat. The episode also included a talking doll that attempted to commit murder. Oh, Chucky reference, yay.
That doesn't sound creepy either. No.
No.
Child cartoon.
Good.
It's good.
Alright, let's see. When Johnny enjoys something, usually something he tastes or sees, he often exclaims enjoyment by saying, object-y or whatever. This joke was first introduced and most prevalent in the second season, similar to the one of Homer Simpson and Pee-wee Herman's catchphrases. Yeah. Homer Simpson ripoff.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say it's... go ahead.
Oh, I'm just saying it's... for something like that, that's kind of goes... Trying to trademark a joke, you can't... It's not impossible, but you can do it. It's one of those things that I'm kind of... It gets a pass on. Just for... I laughed at it, so therefore I'm kind of okay with it. The references, like when they do the pop culture references in the show, are always one of my favorite parts in a cartoon, so.
Yeah. I mean, they're cool, but like I said, I don't know. Let's see here. Many pop culture references were found. For instance, the song Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses is mentioned in one episode, and Johnny sung the first few lines of the Depeche Mode song Just Can't Get Enough in the Christmas special, as well as several other songs, films, and other TV shows. Also in the intro video text, Johnny Bravo can be seen written in the same font and style as Back to the Future logo. That's blasphemy, goddammit.
No kidding.
And
it's
lastly,
for a second.
Go ahead.
I was just saying it was only there for a second, Mike.
Doesn't matter. It's still blasphemy.
Just breathe. It'll pass. It'll pass.
Yeah, really.
Like a bad case of gas.
Johnny Bravo finally got a DVD release here in Region 1. Its complete first season was released on June 15th, 2010. I'm surprised they haven't done a complete series of this yet. I mean, it's already past the 10th anniversary mark for this show. It's already past the 10th anniversary mark for this show. And I think the only one out of Bravo, Dexter, and Powerpuff Girls to get a complete series release is Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah. It's kind of weird, but again, you got to think about it. They never really got into whole season sets of cartoons like this until the last few years, so it may be coming. It's just going to be a while off. I mean, you look at like the Batman animated series, how long that took to get like a complete DVD set.
Now that was a horrible wait.
Wait, did you buy the volume sets, Clayton?
I bought the volume sets, and then they released the collections. Like, really? I spent like this much on it. Come on!
I'm so glad I missed out on the volume sets.
That's about all I could find here, but it's always like, go to the store. Awesome, it's only $25. And I come back 2 days later when I get paid. Crap, they sold it! Which is, again, one of the hardest things about living in the middle of freaking Canada like this, is you find stuff and you better have money that day to buy it, because it ain't going to be there tomorrow. Unless you hide it behind, like, the 15 copies of Ed TV that you find in a discount bin. Walmart doesn't like it when I do that.
That's funny. That's just too funny.
Dreamcast will be back after these messages.
This is Dr. Wily, and I will destroy Mega Man while listening to Tooncast.
Do not be alarmed. This transmission is being jacked by the lunchroom. We are here to tell you that the lunchroom has been rebooted. It is now a part of the Geekcast Radio Network and is still available at thelunchroom.net. It debuts every Monday or Wednesday or whenever we see fit to give it to you. Any further information can be found at thelunchroom.net. We will now return you to your regular program.
You know that Justin Bieber's actually Webster in a girl suit?
Did you know that Teddy Ruxpin's friend Grubby actually a tapeworm?
Did you know that Gargamel was really a cat lady?
Did you know that Billy Zane is the only man to ever beat Chuck Norris?
If you didn't know any of these things, then you should be currently listening to Chicken Pop Pod Retro Comedy Podcast. Catch it at chickenpoppod.com.
Now back to Tooncast.
So, final thoughts on Johnny Bravo. Glade, why don't you go first? What are your final thoughts, even though you haven't seen much of the show?
Well, there's a reason for that. I found it hard to get into recently. There's just not a whole lot of character development, but if you want a good laugh, I'd go for it.
Yeah, true. What about you, John?
I agree with Glade. You know, it's not one of those shows you're going to get a whole lot of depth to the stories, but I love the series because, like I said at the beginning of the show, it's a shout-out. I don't know if it is a letter of love to the old-school Hanna-Barbera cartoons, but it is in that neighborhood where you watch it, you'll be entertained, you'll laugh, you'll have a good time, and I think that's all I really ask of a cartoon series in this sort of genre.
Yeah, I agree. Well, this isn't my like favorite cartoon that Cartoon Network ever did, and I don't know. I can kind of take it and leave it. I don't outright hate it, but it's okay for what it was, I guess. So let's see here, Jonathan. Do you have anything you want to pimp out?
Just, you know, mention my blog. It's authenticgeek247.blogspot.com. Trying to get to a point where I update it at least once or twice a day, although I'm hit and miss lately. But invite people to come check it out, comment on stuff. Let me know what you think, what I could do to make it better. And that's about it, really.
All right. And Glade, what do you got coming up over at TSA?
Well, I have about 10 different show ideas, and apparently I have a co-host now, so I won't be alone in this venture. So, thank you, JT. Now I just got to buy the stuff to do the recording.
Hey, talk to Mike, man. I'm sure he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, we'll talk about that afterwards. So, do you want to give out your website later, wherever we can get the game is afoot or whatever.
Yeah, it is at tsaproductions.podbean.com. Like I said, there's going to be way more shows than Sherlock Holmes, so just stay tuned. Once I'm done procrastinating, there'll be stuff.
Yeah. Oh, and Mike, if I may, I just want to say if anyone wants to send me any links or, you know, cool geeky stuff on the internet, the email address for my blog is authenticgeek247, all one word, @gmail.com.
Is that 247 or 24/7?
No, 247.
Okay.
AuthenticGeek247@gmail.com.
Okay, good deal. Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Leave the you can comment on each post with Facebook Connect and all that other happy crap. Join the forums, predaconempire.com/nexus. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. I'm going to have to check that for next episode. Follow us on Twitter. GCR and TuneCast is the show Twitter. Mine is TFG1Mike. JT, what's your Twitter?
It's Freak711. It's PHREAK711.
And Glade, what's yours?
I actually don't use Twitter, so the best way to follow me is just Facebook.
Okay. Why did you set up the TSA one then if you don't use it?
Well, I did, but I just found I'm not using Twitter as much as Facebook, so.
Yeah, I'm the opposite, actually. But anyway, become a fan on Facebook. Search Geekcast Radio Network. You can also search for TSA Productions. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. As of this recording, the voicemail line is currently down. I don't know what the deal is with that. I'm waiting on Skype to reply to my request to find out. We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast. We wish you'll join us next time when Derek Ferguson from Better in the Dark will be joining me as we will be reminiscing on Johnny Quest. Okay, gotta put some blank audio in here. Glade, you go first, and then John, you go after him when I do this next line. For now, I am TFG on mic with
Glade Packer,
Jonathan JT Totterin,
saying thank you for listening. Until next time.